Welcome to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Somebody praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We want to pray a bit more before we get into the Word of God. And you may be seated, but you can stand at a point when we start praying. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And before we enter into another round of prayer, I want us to read the scripture together. Psalms 124. We're going to read all of it from the New King James Version. And we're going to read it together. I want you to read it loudly, as loudly as you can. You can disturb everybody, you know, and nobody will take you to task for that. Psalms 124, let's read it together. Ready, go. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. Verse 2. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The streams would have gone over our soul. then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Can you clap your hands and celebrate the Lord for his deliverance, for his victory, and for keeping us? Hallelujah. Look into the face of three people. Tell them this is the doing of the Lord. The second person.
This is the doing of the Lord.
The third person.
This is the doing of the Lord.
Tell another person, if it had not been for the Lord on my side,
if it had not been for the Lord,
I would not be here today.
I would not have seen
the end of 2025. As I am seeing it now, and I will not be crossing over into 2026, but here I am today only because he made a way. The weapons of the enemy against my life, against my family, did not prosper. Every agenda to bring me down has failed totally. My help is in the name of the Lord, and I'm crossing over into 2026 by the grace of God. Somebody scream. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. But I want us to pray a little more. It's not going to be easy. Let us spend a few minutes praying for our nation, Ghana. Amen?
Amen.
I think that it's a very important thing on an occasion like this to pray for our nation. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7, the Bible says, Jeremiah 29, verse 7 from the New Living Translation, it says, "And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for its welfare will determine your welfare." And I want you to take note of the last part of the verse. He said, pray to the Lord for it. That is for the city or the nation where you find yourself. For its welfare will determine your welfare. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this is a prophetic word that came through the prophet Jeremiah to the people of Israel who were in exile. And God gave this prophetic word to them that now you find yourself in another place, on another land, in another country. Wherever you find yourself, pray for the peace of that place. And then he explained that for its welfare will determine your welfare, which means that you will not do well unless things are working well in the place or in the land or in the country where you find yourself. This is a very important understanding that you must have. Now, right here tonight, we have Ghanaians, but we also have people from other nations. And this is where we all find ourselves. Some of you spend some time here. Some of you spend other part of the time in another place. But tonight, as I speak to you, this is where you find yourself. And I want us to spend a few minutes to pray for our nation, Ghana. Ghana has been through a lot from independence till now. But one marked thing that we can say about our nation is that God has been gracious to us. And tonight I want us to pray that as we enter into a new year, God will continue to be gracious to us. Can I have an amen from somebody? Amen. Psalm 67, reading from verse number 1. And we're going to stand on this scripture to pray for our nation. It says, God, be gracious to us and bless us and cause his fame, I beg your pardon, cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations of the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. Praise the name of Jesus. And we're going to stand upon this scripture to pray for our nation. We just want to insert Ghana into this scripture. And I want us, number one, to pray and plead with God that he'll be gracious to our nation. To be gracious means to be merciful, to be compassionate, to be pleasantly kind, to be benevolent. And we are praying that God should be all of these things to our nation, Ghana. Then I want us to pray that God should also bless us. When God blesses us, it means that when God blesses somebody, it means that he bestows divine favor and all kinds of good things upon that person. So as we are praying that God should bless Ghana, we are praying that he should favor us. Already he has favored us. Because if you look at the nations surrounding us and the disturbances and the upheavals that have taken place in those nations, you don't need anybody to tell you that God has favored us and has sheltered us from all kinds of calamities. If you go to Nigeria today, well, I think the situation has calmed down a bit, but there was a season in the very recent past where churches were being attacked, Christians were being kidnapped, people were being held for ransom in different parts of the country, especially in the northern sector. I mean, Ghana, we have our own things. But if you compare what we have seen with what others have seen, the only thing that you can say is that God really has been kind and gracious to us. And we are praying that in the coming year, number one, he'll be gracious to us, that he will bless us, that he'll make his face shine upon us, that he will cause his ways to be manifested in our nation, that he should deliver us from crisis and devastation, that he should usher this nation into a new season of abundance and increase. Hallelujah. Currently, things are looking better than they were some time ago. We are praying that it will become even far better. And that we will enter into a real season of blessings, of prosperity, of progress, and of well-being for all Ghanaians and everybody living within the borders of this country. Can we stand to our feet right now and spend some time praying for our nation, Ghana? We are praying that God should be gracious to us, that God should bless us. Lift up your voices and begin to pray for Ghana right now in the name of Jesus. Shall we pray?
Lekapaya bababa, sekabara bosata ya bababari ya bababa kote. Lekapaya rabaro mo de 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 de
de de de de de de de de de de
de de de de
de de de de de de de de de de
de de
de de de de de de
de
de de de de de de
de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de de
Thank you for our nation Ghana. Our prayer to you tonight is, oh God, bless our homeland Ghana. Make our nation great and strong. Oh God, be gracious to Ghana, our motherland, and bless us, and turn your face upon us, and lift up your countenance upon this nation. Favor us in every regard. Favor us in every respect. Let the lot of this country change for the better. Prosper us in all our ways. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from destruction. Deliver us from crisis. Deliver us from devastation. Let this nation prosper. In the name of Jesus, let the economic situation be better. Let the financial situation be better. As the nation flourishes, the inhabitants and the citizens of the nation will also flourish and will also do well. Strike forth your hand of favor upon Ghana and bless it. Bless it in a profound way. In the mighty name of Jesus. Protect our nation, O God. Protect the borders of this nation. Let not every evil agenda of the enemy be able to break through our borders and enter our country. We pray against the activities of Islamic radicals and fundamentalists. We pray against the activities of Boko Haram, against the activities of ISIS, against the activities of wicked and unreasonable men. May their agenda to stir up confusion and disturbance in our nation not prosper and not flourish. In the mighty name of Jesus, shield us, O Lord. Keep us, O Lord, and maintain the peace in our country. In the mighty name of Jesus, let there be peace on every side. Let there be an enabling environment within which the people of this nation will prosper. Let people see the fruits of their labor, and let your extreme favor come upon the land. Yakataya Ramadana Semen. Yakataya Ramadana Semen. Yakataya Ramadana Semen.
Next prayer we want to pray, and this is the last prayer for this session. Right after this, I'm going to go into the sermon for the day. We're going to receive communion. We're going to have an anointing service. And then we'll pray again into the new year. Is it a good idea? All right, that's fine. And this time, I want us to pray for the church. Amen? And we want to pray for the Shepherd's Fold Restoration family. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, the Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Hallelujah. We want to pray that this church will be steadfast. Amen. That means that we'll be steady and focused. It is important for us to do that. It is important for us to understand our mandate and our commission and not to shift from it. So I want to pray that this church will be steadfast, will be steady and focused, that will be unmovable, that nothing will move us or shake us or distract us or take us away from what God has called us to do. Then I want to pray that this church will always abound in the work of God. That means that we'll always give ourselves to the work of God. The work of winning souls, the work of discipling people, the work of bearing fruits, the work of imparting our community and our generation. We want to pray that we will always abound in the work of the Lord. And another thing I want us to pray for at this time, that God will lift this church from strength to strength and from glory to glory. Lift up your voices and pray for the Shepherd's Fold Restoration family.
Oh, yes,
in the name of Jesus, shall we pray?
Father, may we be steadfast in the name of Jesus. May we be unmovable, always abounding in your way. In the name of Jesus, we pray tonight, O God, that you move your church from glory to glory, from strength to strength. In the name of Jesus.
Oh, thank God for this church. Thank you, Father, for this Shepherd's Fold Restoration family. Thank you, Father, for where you picked us from. Thank you, Father, for bringing us a mighty, mighty long way. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated our fourth anniversary. We look back at where you started us off and how far you have brought us. It is a miracle. It is a wonder. It is amazing what you have done for us. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that as we move into the new year, cause this church to be steadfast, to be steady, to be focused on our calling, on our assignment, on our mission, on our mandate. May we not shift from it in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, O God, cause us to be unmovable. No matter what comes our way, no matter the obstacles that confront us, no matter the challenges we face, cause us to be unmovable. And we are praying also, as a church, may we always abound in your way, in the name of Jesus. Help us to constantly and all the time give ourselves to the work of God, without relenting, without relaxing, without shifting, without drifting. You have called us, O God, to be fruitful. We did not choose you, but you chose us and ordained us that we should go and bring forth fruits, and that our fruits should remain. We cry out to you, Father, today, that you will empower us by your Spirit and cause us to be fruitful like we never have been before. May 2026 be the
year of exceptional fruitfulness on our part. May a lot of souls be won. May the souls won be discipled. May the souls won do it. May your people move from being ordinary members to disciples and to become workers in the house of the Lord. Rakachaya Rabalebesebede. Yababaya Baba Sebede Ababaya Badebe. O Kataya Rababaya Badebe. O Rababaya Baba 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 Baba. We thank you, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We bless you, Lord. Every hand lifted unto the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Yes, om nyamia, o yomam wendi, bibiaran so. I didn't know it. Be my answer, oh yeah. Yes, so. Thank you, Father. We bless your name. We will publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. You've done wonderful and amazing things for us all through the year 2025.
And here we stand today at the brink of crossing over into 2026. We are thankful to you, Father, for the great things that you have done. And all that you have done have stirred up hope in our hearts that you're going to do greater things in the coming year. Because your mercies are renewed to us every morning. And Father, tonight as I share your word with your people, I pray that you will grant us insight, understanding, revelation, coupled with the wisdom that we need to run with your word. I pray in the name of Jesus for everyone under the sound of my voice, that we will embrace your purposes for us in the coming year, and that collectively we will do our very best to accomplish our mandate for the year 2026. I commit myself into your hands. Use me for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' mighty name, and let the people of God say, amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord and you may be seated. God bless you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. It's gonna be easy, but the Lord will help us. So tonight, I want you to give me your attention, because through what I'm about to share with you, we are going to identify our vision and our goal for the year 2026 as a church. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And I want you to turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let us read from verse 5 to 9 from the New King James Version of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we are reading from verse 5 to 9. It says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, I'll have you understand that the church in Corinth had a lot of issues, had a lot of challenges. There was a lot of dissent, division, strife in the church. There was a lot of polarization and a lot of politicking in the church. And, you know, they used to create factions. There was the Paul faction, there was the Apollos faction. And here, Paul was writing to the church to deal with those issues and to arrest that problem. So this is what he was doing. It's just trying to explain to them that stop what you are doing. This thing about I am for Paul, I am for Apollos, it's not necessary. Stop all those things that you are doing. You are creating problems, because I am nothing, Apollos is nothing, God is everything. And whatever results we are seeing in the church, it is God who has made it possible. But I want to draw your attention to the 9th verse, where he says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. You are God's field.
You are God's building. I am particularly interested in the part where he says, you are God's field. You are God's field. You are God's field. So keep that in mind. And you can even underline that or highlight that in your Bible. Can you hear me clearly? You're sure everyone at the back? Is it clear? It's not muffled? All right. Because I don't like the sound that I'm getting. But you leave it like that. Before you realize, you've turned it into something else. Because I told you what to do at the beginning. All right. So you are God's field. And remember that he's referring to the church. All right. He's referring to Christians. He's referring to believers. And he's describing them as God's field. Now turn with me to Isaiah 61 and verse number 3. Isaiah 61 verse 3, again from the New King James Version of the Bible. Isaiah 61 is one of the messianic prophecies, prophesying about the Lord Jesus. And at the beginning of it, you would read where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to preach liberty, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to announce the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, this psalm, I beg your pardon, this scripture, Jesus himself quoted from it or read from it in Luke chapter 4, when he entered into the temple after he had returned from his temptation in the wilderness. And after he read it, he announced that what they had just heard was about him and that he had come to fulfill it. Hallelujah. But look at verse number 3. He said, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In 2026, by the grace of God, may God turn your mourning into dancing. May God wipe your tears away and fill your mouth with may God. What was I even saying? May God turn your mourning into dancing and fill your heart with gladness and with joy. Hallelujah. Then it goes on to say that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Again, I want you to underline that or highlight that in your Bible, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Now, listen carefully to me. And I'm preaching for a very short time. I mean, it's almost midnight. All right? So don't get lost. Stay focused. Hallelujah. There are some key scriptures in the Bible where God's people, or if you like, the church, is described or are described using the imagery of a garden or a tree or a vine or a plant. There are different scriptures in the Bible where you find such an analogy being drawn. And I've just read from two of them. And you will notice in the first scripture that the Apostle Paul describes the church as a field. As a field. Or as a garden. Amen? He describes the church as a field. As a garden. As a cultivated land. Now, if the church or God's people are described as a garden or as a field, what does that make the members of the church? Say that again. Plants or trees. Amen. It makes them plants or trees. And that is confirmed, or a reference is made to that in the second scripture we read in Isaiah 61 verse 3, where he says that they will be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Hallelujah. So the church is described as a garden, as a field, or as a cultivated land. And the inference from this is that every member of the church is seen as a tree or as a plant. Tell your neighbor that you are a tree, and then add why to it. Hallelujah. There is a divine purpose for every plant or for every tree. Everybody say with me, there is a divine purpose for every tree and for every plant. What is that divine purpose? The divine purpose of every tree and every plant is that it must be fruitful. Amen. It must be fruitful. It must bear fruit. Where do we find the evidence of this? Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, reading from verse 11. Now, this is the account of the creation of the world. And what I'm about to read is what took place on the third day. On the third day, God created plant life and the vegetation. And the Bible says, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind. Notice that. That yields fruit according to its kind. In other words, it must reproduce itself, it must multiply itself, or it must become fruitful. Do you see that? Then it continues, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Hallelujah. So after God created the plant life, the grass, the herbs, and the tree, he gave a command. And the command simply was that every tree, every plant, every herb, every grass must bear fruit, or it must be fruitful, or it must multiply. And so if we are saying that we are trees in God's garden, if God, if the church, God's people can be described as a garden, and each one of us can be described as trees in the garden, then there is a mandate on each and every one of us to become fruitful, according to what we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Lift up your right hand with me and say, I have a divine assignment to be fruitful, and by the grace of God, I shall be fruitful. Hallelujah. So, I have just explained to you in just this short exposition that the church is like a garden. The members of the church are like trees or plants in the garden. And the expectation of every tree and every plant is that it must be fruitful. Is that easy to understand? All right, let's press on. And I want to press on and ask you a question. What do all fruitful trees have in common? Or what do all trees which are fruitful have in common? What did somebody say? Yeah, they bear fruits. But think about it again. What do all trees which are fruitful, what do they have in common? They have green leaves, yes? What else? What did he say? What's it then? They have soil. Oh. They undergo photosynthesis. They have seeds. Anything else you can think of? They are what? They are pruned. What else can you think of? All right. There's some truth in everything that you've said. But I want to draw your attention to something that you've not thought about. That one of the major things that all fruitful trees have in common is that they have strong roots. I'm sure somebody is saying, I was just about to say it. Or you said it. Are you sure? Is it true? Who said it? You said it. All right. Come for your prize after church. One of the critical things that you can identify with all fruitful plants and trees is that they have strong roots. What you see above the ground is dependent on what you don't see, which is inside. And the strong roots are like the foundation upon which every fruitful tree flourishes. Strong roots. If you take a building, for example, when you set out to build, there is a lot of money that goes into the foundation. A lot of investment. And the reason is because the whole building, its strength, its safety, its security rests on the foundation. So building can be a very painful experience, particularly at the foundation stage, because you are pumping in a lot of money and you don't see anything coming up because you won't live in the foundation. And when you are building, you are looking forward to the day when you will see the block work come up. At least when you see that, you feel that we are making progress. And anybody who has tried to fast track the process has done so to their own detriment. Because many buildings that collapse, they collapse because the foundation is not solid enough. Are you understanding what I'm explaining to you? So, you and I, God sees us as trees. And as trees, His expectation of us is that we will be fruitful. But for us to be fruitful, we must have strong roots and we must be rooted. Because without that, we will not grow well and will not be able to produce the fruits that God wants us to produce. And these are fruits of good works, fruits of souls, and fruits of other disciples like ourselves. And this is what he says. I want you to know how much I have agonized. That means I've worked hard, contended, or fought for you and for the church at Laodicea. You know, there are many battles that as pastors we fight for you. Are you aware? Fighting, dealing with all kinds of enemies, spiritual, physical enemies for your sake. And he said, and for many other believers who have never met me personally, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. As you enter into 2026, may you enter with encouragement and with hope that the year 2026 is going to be better than the year 2025. In 2026, may the bonds of love that exist amongst us as a church be strengthened and tightened in the mighty name of Jesus. In 2026, may we increase in our knowledge of Christ Jesus, so much so that we will have great confidence as we move through life. Can somebody shout a loud amen? He continues, I am telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I'm far away from you, my heart is with you. And I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. Now verse 6 and 7 are the verses you are looking for. He says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. That means you must be a disciple. Then the statement comes. Let your roots grow down into him. Who is the him here? Christ Jesus. Let your roots grow down into him. And let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And you will overflow with thankfulness. Again, I repeat, let your roots grow down into him. That means you must be rooted in Christ. You must be rooted in Christ. And your life must be built on him. Verse 6 and 7 from the New King James Version says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Amen. So the first part of our quest and our goal as a church this year is that we will be rooted in Christ, which is actually a call to discipleship. Everybody say a call to discipleship. That we will be rooted in Christ, which is actually a call to discipleship. You know, let me explain something to you. When you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, it is not the end of the road for you. It's like, I am saved, I'm born again, so that is it. That is not it. There is more to the Christian experience than coming to church and accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It is actually just the beginning of a very long journey, a lifelong journey into something. After a person becomes born again and receives Jesus as Lord and Savior, God's expectation for that person is that he will grow and mature and continue to follow the Lord and actually become a disciple. I'm sure you've heard me say this before, that if you read your entire Bible, you can find the word Christian only three times. But you're going to find the word disciple or followers more than 269 times. And in the early church, those who gave their lives to Christ, they were described as followers. They were described as disciples. It was later on, and the first time that word Christian came was in Antioch. When they looked at the disciples there and their behavior and everything, they realized that they were following Jesus closely. And that's when they started calling them Christians. But there is a wrong notion or impression that we operate under, which is that it's like there are Christians and then there are disciples. It's not true. A Christian and a disciple is supposed to be one and the same thing. And our salvation is a call to be disciples. The start of the journey is when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. But after that experience, the expectation is that you will grow. You will mature. You become a proper follower of Jesus and become his disciple. That word disciple, another word for it is apprentice. That's what it is. So think about who an apprentice is. An apprentice is somebody you have taken on that you are teaching a trade to. So you can be there and somebody will come to you and say that, I want to be a hairdresser. There are forms to be filled. The terms will be made clear to you. And then you start the process. When you enroll and when you start, you have entered into apprenticeship, which is discipleship. And the goal is for you to learn the trade so well that you will become as good as your mistress. That's the objective. Such that if you are learning to do hair, you should get to a place where a customer will come in, you will fix her hair for her, and when anybody comes, they will think that it is your madam who fixed it. When you get to that place, then you have actually succeeded in your apprenticeship. You have become like your madam. And Christianity, that is what it is about. That we should become like Christ Jesus. We should become his followers. His traits, his life, his character should be seen in us. So after you get born again, which is just the beginning, you are expected to grow and to mature and to develop. And all these things can only take place when you are rooted in Christ. Rooted in him. Unfortunately, in our churches today, are a lot of people who are born again, and I don't question that. But it's like the journey ended for them. They did not grow. They did not mature. They did not develop into disciples. And the reason is simple. They were not rooted in Christ. There is no parent who gives birth and expects the child to remain a baby forever. No parent. Babies are nice. Babies are enjoyable. But there is no parent who wants their baby to remain a baby forever. expectation is that he will grow. He will mature. He will become responsible. He'll be able to stand on his own two feet and be able to take quality decisions for his life. But the tragedy in the church, the body of Christ today, is that it is laden with people who truly are born again, but they have remained infants in the Lord. And I'm submitting to you that one of the reasons is because they have not been rooted in Christ. And in the coming year, God is calling on us as a church, and he's speaking to all of us, everyone under the sound of my voice, that it is time for us to move away from being shallow Christians. Shallow Christians, easily offended, easily hurt, not focusing, not committed, not concentrating, not fruitful, not bearing fruit, not doing much. It's time to move away from that. Christians who are not consistent, have to be pampered all the time, have to always be stirred in a certain direction. There's too much of that. God is expecting us to advance from that stage. And we can only do that when we become rooted in Christ. Then the second part of our theme, of our goal and our quest, is that once we become rooted in him, then we'll begin to reproduce. That means that we'll begin to bear fruits. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if we are trees, the expectation of the one who created us is that we will bear fruits. So the question he asks of us all the time is, where are the fruits that you are supposed to bear? Where are they? Where are the fruits? Christ is expecting that after saving us, we will become rooted in him, we will become mature in him, and then we will produce other fruits like ourselves. So the path is a path of, you become born again, then from there you become rooted in Christ, you become a disciple, and then from there you become a discipler. A discipler, somebody who disciples other people. So first you become saved, then you must grow and mature and be rooted in Christ and become a disciple. A proper follower of Jesus Christ. Then you are expected to bear fruits and disciple those fruits. That is what it means to reproduce for Christ. And that is our assignment. That is our mandate. That is the charge upon our lives. I'm sorry, I don't have any exciting theme for you that will excite your emotions and your desire to have a lot of things. I don't have a theme for you. 2026, your year of divine discovery. 2026, your year of wealth without end. 2026, my year of taking it by thunder. By thunder, by fire. I'm sorry, that's not what God has given to me for us. But I'll say this to you. I'll say this to you, my friends. You see, when we follow the path that Christ has mapped out for us, of being saved, of being rooted in him, of being disciples, of bearing fruits, of discipling others, when we follow that path, there is nothing that we need that he will not provide. That's the secret. And I want to say to you that the reason why most of us do not have the things we are looking for is because you are not pleasing the one who called you and saved you and gave you an assignment which you have not carried out. And once you are not doing what he wants, you cannot expect his divine support and endorsement for you at a certain level. No, God, he's good. And you will always do good to his people. But there's a certain level he wants to bring us to, where it is a level of we are blessed, we are fulfilled, we have everything, because his desire is to grant us the desires of our hearts. But there's a condition to it. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will grant you the desires of your heart. It is when you are doing what I want for me, that is when I will end up doing what you want for you. That's how it works out. So you may think, rooted in Christ, reproducing for Christ. It's like, what? He didn't talk about my husband, my child, my job promotion, my elevation. He didn't talk about all those. All those things are embedded in it. Your focus must be to be rooted in Christ, to reproduce for him. Focus on that and watch what he will do in your life, where he will lift you from, and the level and the heights that he will place you. And as your pastor, I've shared this with you because that is what God laid on my heart. As the one that he has honored by putting me in charge of this flock, working as an under shepherd, because the shepherd of this church is Christ Jesus himself. His direction and his instruction for us as we step into 2026 is that let's concentrate on becoming more rooted in Christ, in reproducing for him. And as we do that, he himself will take care of us. He himself will keep us, provide for us, and give us the kind of fulfilled life that we are looking for. Ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of God, we will press on this agenda to be rooted in Christ and to reproduce for Christ. Clap your hands in a better way for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just rise up to your feet.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.